Welcome to Garden with Harmony. I'm your host, Harmony, and for today's lesson from the garden, we'll be doing something just a little bit different. I try to keep these episodes educational and informative, but today I wanted to add a little bit of storytelling and talk about my year in the garden and what got me started. Now, I haven't stepped foot in the garden in over 2 weeks, and that's partly because I only have one bed growing right now. It's partly because everything is covered in snow and it's cold out. And it's partly because, if we're being honest, I'm a little tired. It has been a year for everyone, and I am no exception. So I wanted to talk about that, just about 2020, what I did in my garden, how it went. But talking about that and thinking about that really got me thinking about what got me into gardening in the first place and why I love it so much, how it's helped me, and why I want to keep going. So to do that, we do need to go back a little bit to when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, we had chickens, we had turkeys, we had goats, horses, and each year we would get a calf that we would raise. My parents both worked outside of the home, but it never stopped my dad from bringing home some kind of stray or another. He was trying to live out this homesteading dream, and that dream included growing his own food. The problem was that we lived in a house that was built into a hill, and it was rockier than anything that I have ever seen. No matter where you dug, you were bringing up rocks. And as a kid, that was super fun. And looking back on it now through the eyes of an adult, I realize how much of a struggle that really was, especially when it came to garden. Now, he tried unsuccessfully for several years, and he was stubborn, and he wanted to do it the way his father did, you know, with hard work and determination and Miracle-Gro. He didn't want to try new things. He didn't want to do things differently. And so he did the same thing year after year and got the same results. Now, the one area that he did have success with was with tomatoes. And that's because he grew his tomatoes, just like his father did, in a 5-gallon bucket. And those were his babies. Those were the successful things, and they were the literal fruit of his labor each year. And it's really being a part of all of those failures that put me off gardening for the longest time. I didn't want to garden because it seemed like too much work for too little payoff. It seemed like it was really hard, and that if I started gardening, I would just struggle, and I didn't want to struggle. So fast forward to 2014, I'm an adult now. And at this point, I had not gardened outside of when I was a child with my father, helping my dad attempt to dig, or, you know, mix fertilizer, or, you know, cry together about the plants not growing. My first husband had been diagnosed with congestive heart failure a few years before this, and he ended up passing in the fall of 2014. And then 6 months later, my father passed. And add to that, I had just gotten out of the Navy after 10 years, and I moved across the country to move back home to my hometown, just me and my two daughters. And I was feeling lost for a few different reasons. I needed an outlet, and I didn't know how to handle all of the emotions that I was feeling. I was mourning for the loss of what could have been, and I felt a lot of guilt about what I could have done differently. And all I could think about was the missed opportunities and how much life they had left unlived. And I promise, if you're listening, this does have to do with gardening. I actually came across a cucumber plant in the grocery store that was just struggling to stay alive, and I ended up bringing it home with me. I felt like I wanted to fix it. I wanted to take care of it. So I loved it as best as I could, and I looked forward to caring for it. And I could see it change quickly, and I felt this instant gratification. It was something that I didn't know that I could feel. I didn't know that I could bring a plant back to life. I didn't think, you know, that I was capable of doing that. It gave me something to focus on, and it gave me a sense of control in a time where I felt out of control. I felt like I didn't have any say in anything that was happening around me, and I felt like life was just happening to me, not something that I was experiencing. And as silly as this is, it was just a single plant, but it gave me a hope that life really is what you make it. Now, this doesn't actually have a happy ending with this cucumber plant, because eventually the plant did die because I didn't know what I was doing. Much like my dad, I didn't know what I was doing, and I wasn't doing anything to try to figure it out. I was just doing my best. So unfortunately, this cucumber plant does not have a happy ending, but it did spark something in me, and I wanted to know what I should have been doing. And it was the first time that I felt like I wanted to learn about plants, that I wanted to take the extra steps to find out what I could have done differently. And over the years, I've grown in pots in the patio, in ground, raised beds, and over time, I've learned through my own failures, reading online courses and asking a million questions. And through gardening, I've been able to focus my energy on something that benefits not just me, but my whole family. And I'm able to use it as a stress relief and get a sense of pride and accomplishment from it. And that feeling of being able to care for something and see the, like I said, the literal fruits of your labor has been something that has consistently driven me, because I want to experience that over and over again. And more than that, now I'm at a point where I want to share that with other people, and I want other people to be able to feel that same feeling, which is part of the reason why I actually even started this podcast. I wanted to be able to help people realize that gardening does not have to be this big scary thing, and it doesn't have to be something that only certain people are good at. Anybody can garden. It just takes a little bit of time and a little bit of effort. But if you're willing to put in the effort, you can and will see great results from it. And that brings us to this year. And this year has been a big year for me when it comes to gardening, because last fall, I finally bought a home with my husband, and it's got enough space to grow everything that I could think of. Now, it's only 2.5 acres, so it's not this huge farm, but it's enough for me. And when we moved in, we decided that we were going to let everything go until spring to see what we already had growing. I wanted to know what was there before I started ripping things out or planting things that I might already have. So I was really happy to see so many things growing that were already really established. So I have like a gorgeous hedgerow of peonies that are now taking their winter break. They died back, and I cannot wait to see them in the spring again. This is the first time that I've looked forward to flowers. I always try to be practical in the garden. I want to grow food that I can eat and things that will nourish me. And this is the first time that I've looked at a flower and said, this is something that I need, not because of anything that it does for my body, but what it does for my mind. It brings me a sense of joy, and beauty is its own reward. The beauty of a flower is enough to be able to say, that's something I want to put effort into to continue to cultivate and to grow. And this has been really the first year that I felt that way. Now, I've also got a few rows of Sharon bushes, daylilies, tulips, and in the summer, we actually discovered there is a huge patch of blackberries. Now, this year, I started winter sowing because I could not wait. I didn't want to wait until spring to get everything in the ground. I wanted to get ahead of the game, and I had some spare time on my hands, if we're being honest. Now, this is my first year trying it, and I definitely will be doing it again this year, but I think I'll wait a little bit. Last year, I started around the middle of December, and so this year, I'm going to start probably at the end of January. My plants were way past ready to be transplanted before the last frost last year, and I want to make sure that my plants are ready to go, but I don't want them to be struggling to survive in their small pots. So once the ground had thawed, I did a soil test on a few different spots in the yard. And when you do a soil test, you do want to make sure that you're taking soil samples from a couple different spots in the yard. And what I found was that most of my soil is acidic with a fair bit of clay. The property has been covered in trees for the longest time. Most of them were dying when we moved in. We still have some that we do need to get rid of, and it has more moss than grass and spots. So I didn't have high expectations, but I wanted to, you know, give it the old college try. What I ended up doing was I put in 6 4x8 beds right away, and I ordered a few yards of soil, compost mix, and some mulch. And obviously I had some leftover because, you know, you always want to order a little bit more than you think you need just in case. So I put in 4 more 4x4 beds and a 12x4 bed. The 12x4 bed is more of an experiment than anything. It's a fair bit deeper than the others. The majority of the beds are about 8 inches deep, while this one is 2.5 feet deep. So with this one, I filled the bottom with logs from those dead trees that we had cut down, a huge portion of them. I filled it with leaf mold and then the remaining soil and compost mix that I had, and then I topped it off with mulch after I transplanted seedlings. Now, for most people, this would be enough, especially when you're first starting a brand new garden, but I wanted to see how the in-ground soil was, how plants would do if I planted them in ground. So I did 4 rows that were 20 feet long for peppers and tomatoes. And this sounds like overkill, and it was overkill if my plants had produced like they normally would with good soil. But because I knew that my soil wasn't the best, I had the space, I had the seeds and the time, and I was worried about how they would produce. So it made sense. Now, I definitely think they would have done better. I think the highest that any of the tomatoes actually got was about 5 feet high, but I was still really impressed. I did amend the soil with a layer of compost and mulch as well. And between the clay soil and the mulch, I was able to spread that deep watering to once every about 5 days or so, which was super awesome considering the amount of garden space that I have. Now, in the raised beds, I did a little bit of everything. I did broccoli, lettuce, kale, radishes, beans, eggplants, zucchini, you name it. I also used companion planting. I love to use companion planting. That is my number one tip for any new gardener who says, what is something I can't skip out on? Companion planting. The two biggest ones that I used and that I recommend, marigolds, I put those in every corner of every bed and down the rows and everywhere in between. And chamomile in with the cabbage, especially if you have any cabbage, broccoli, kale, anything, definitely put in some chamomile. And I did all of this using the square foot method. Now, this is the biggest garden, like I said, this is the biggest garden that I've had since I started. And I know that not everything worked out, but I'm really proud of how it went. And it did better than I hoped for. And after putting everything to bed for the winter, you know, laying more mulch and actively composting over the winter, I am really excited about next season. But like I said, I haven't stepped foot in the garden in 2 weeks. I do have one bed that's still actively growing some broccoli and some kale. And for a split second today, this morning actually, I felt guilty. I had an entirely different episode that I was ready to release today, and I actually decided to put that on hold so that I could record this morning and release it today. But I felt like I wasn't doing enough this morning and that I should be growing things indoors, that I should have put in more garlic in the fall, and I should always be working on the garden in some way, shape, or form. That if I'm going to talk about gardening, that I should be actively gardening. And for me, something that I struggle with personally is I feel like it's not enough to just do the bare minimum. And this morning, I felt that really hard. I felt sad to see the garden empty and abandoned. But I needed to remind myself that the garden isn't abandoned, it's just resting. And I try to take my cues from nature in a lot of different things, from using mulch to companion planting. I try to be as hands-off in the garden as possible. I like to let nature do its thing until I need to step in. And taking a step into the garden this morning, you know, all the creatures are sleeping, there's no birds chirping, there's no squirrels running around, and everything's covered in snow, it made me feel sad at first. But then it made me feel peaceful. In my head, I know there is a season for everything and a time of rest is needed too. And I know this applies to me too. I know it, but I wasn't feeling it. But while I was standing outside in the garden, in this place that I have come to see as a refuge of sorts, where there has been so much life and now it's empty, I started to feel calm because I know that it's not the end and it's just a restful period. And that I deserve rest too. And while I was thinking about that, and I came inside and I was getting ready to release the episode that I had prepared for this week, and I felt, if I'm feeling this, I know that there are other people feeling this. I know that there are other people feeling this, maybe about their garden, but maybe about other things too. And like I said, part of the reason that I want to do this podcast is because I want to be able to share with other people. And if something is so heavy on my heart, then if there's a way that I can share it with you and make you feel maybe not even better, maybe just feel like you're not alone in that thought, then that's enough. We are going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor, and when we come back, we'll get the Q&A started. Before we begin the Q&A, I'd like to take a moment to thank everyone who submitted questions. My favorite part of every episode is answering these questions. First question from Sam in Texas. Sam asks, if you could only grow one plant for the rest of your life, what would it be? This is a tough one because I want to grow everything. I want to have a little bit of everything. But I would say tomatoes just because there are so many different things that you can do. And I know that you could say that about most plants, But I feel that with tomatoes, you can make sauces, you can make salads, you can do sandwiches, you can do stir fries, you can use them as a base, you can put them in soups. You can really do anything. And if I could only grow one thing, that would be the one thing that I feel like I would get the most bang for my buck out of. So definitely tomatoes. Our next question comes from Chris in Michigan. And Chris asks, how much sun does a plant absolutely need to survive? So Chris, most plants will need at least 5 hours of full sun. Obviously, we want to get a little bit more if we can, but 5 hours is really that kind of limit. But there are some leafy greens and root vegetables that can get away with partial sun, maybe even 3 hours of full sun or that 5 hours of partial sun. And our last question comes from Jess in Michigan. Jess asks, last summer, quite a few of my tomatoes ended up splitting. How can I avoid that this year? That is a great question, Jess. So a heavy rain will cause your tomatoes to split. They end up expanding faster than the skin can stretch. And there's nothing wrong with them, and you can absolutely eat them. The only thing that I would be mindful of is that sometimes this can attract pests. So if you have especially deep cracks in your tomatoes, just check that before you eat them. Otherwise, go ahead. There's no issue there. There's no difference in the flavor, the taste, or anything like that. Now, to avoid this, my suggestion would be to pick your larger tomatoes the day before a rain is expected. So this does mean that you do need to keep an eye on the weather. And if you see that there's an incoming rain, just go ahead and collect those tomatoes and let them ripen on the counter. As always, those were some great questions. Thank you all for submitting them. But what's the lesson from the garden, and how can we apply it to ourselves? The lesson, and one that I absolutely needed a reminder of, is that life comes at you fast. And when you're busy, boy, are you busy. So take advantage of the quiet moments and give yourself some grace and allow yourself to rest. Thank you for being here with me for today's episode of Garden with Harmony. Be sure to like, follow, or subscribe on your preferred podcast platform for new episodes. And if you really like what you heard today, leave me a review on Apple Podcasts and tell me all about it. For more information about today's episode, links, and show notes, or to submit a question for the show, please go to my website, www.gardenwithharmony.com.